Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Darkness Radio. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight Central Time. I'm thankful that you're here with us and spending your weekend evenings. Remember, if you miss any part of our show, you can always check out the website, check out the podcast section, check out Darkness Radio, and you can listen to any one of our shows. They're usually up within about a half an hour after the end of our third hour. All 3 hours will be up on the website so that you can be there with us and spend some time hearing some of the shows. Pass them on to your friends, relatives. Let everybody know about us. Also, the phone lines are open if you're interested in partaking in the conversation tonight. And if you're in the chat room, simply private message over to Tim, and he'll be happy to incorporate your questions while we're doing the show as well. Hey, Tim.
Yes?
Got some exciting news before we get back into the show.
What's that?
What are you doing on Monday, September 29th?
Well, the new episodes of Heroes are on, and
yes,
then my little brother plays football.
Yeah.
There's the crying softly to myself in a corner part of my day that has to happen.
And when you get past that, may I make a suggestion?
I'm selling Mary Kay now, so I think there might be
some. I've noticed that you've been glowing, sir.
I am, yeah, a little bit.
I'm going to be on the September 29th season finale of Paranormal State.
I knew that. Actually, is it the season finale?
Well, that's what they're calling it. They've actually added, I think, 13 more episodes are going to be coming soon, but they're calling it still online and on the commercials, the Paranormal State season finale. I am going to be on the show, featured in the September 29th episode on A&E, so please check your local listings for that, and tune in force. Let the Darkness Radio fan base be heard in roaring silence. Is that
Something like that.
Yeah, but just tune in, check out the show. I think you guys are going to enjoy it because we went out to the Isetti Ranch, James Gilliland's ranch, that I've been talking about for 3 years on the show here, Tim. We got some really cool activity. And on next Sunday, we will be making the official announcement. We are going to Gilliland's Ranch in August 2009, and we're going to open up ticket sales next Sunday. I'll be announcing who's going to be joining us and what's going to be going on. So please remember next Sunday to listen to the show and find out more about the upcoming UFO Ranch investigation we're going to do. And then tune in that Monday night, September 29th, and listen to or watch Paranormal State. And you'll see Darkness Radio Dave show up on there without my buddy Tim.
Yeah.
Funny story, right, Tim? I show up. Chad Kalick and I, both a couple of big guys, bald guys, goatees, right? Chad's all dressed in black. I show up dressed in black. The guy looks at me and goes, wow, do you have another shirt? You two look like each other. And I said, well, I have this kind of glowing green shirt that's got my Darkness Radio logo. He's like, perfect. Just sign the waiver and we'll let you wear the shirt. I said, okay. So I signed the waiver. Well, I show up the next day in a different shirt and he goes, where's the green shirt? And I said, well, I'd like to wear clean clothes each day. He said, no, we need you in that shirt because it really pops. It looks good.
Ooh.
So so for 3 days of filming, I'm wearing the same stinking ripe shirt.
He was stinking.
So that was paranormal in itself. But but that's fun. So tune in. You'll watch the shirt get progressively wrinklier and more food stains appear on it. And I start getting that crazy homeless guy look in my eyes.
And then you got a chaw on your lip and you've rolled up your cigarettes in your sleeve. And you're right. Like, I believe I saw me, UFO.
My Marlboro. So it's going to be on September 29th. Check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll be there to join us. And check out our website again, darknessevents.com. And for those of you that listen to the show through iTunes, please go resubscribe for our RSS feed. Is that what it's called, Tim? RSS feed?
Actually, on I believe on It's an XML feed, but the same thing. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast.
Right. Resubscribe to the podcast, because as of October, we're going to be switching over. You won't be able to get the podcast off of the old stream. So if you're a podcast listener, go over to click on Darkness Radio, click on the podcast, and you can subscribe there again so that you never miss an episode. And all the shows are up within hours of the time that we actually do the show live. We're going to go back to the lines right now. We've got online with us. We've got Bill Murphy, and we've got John Huckert, and I'm pronouncing that correctly, right, John?
Yes.
Okay, John Huckert, and we're talking about spirit photography and these amazing pieces of evidence that are coming out. Now, let me ask you, Bill, I've had the opportunity to hear you do some talks at some of the paranormal conventions we've been at, and you'd done an amazing talk about how there was, and I apologize, I can never remember the gentleman's name, there was a mentalist, I believe, who could actually project his image.
Really involved in the paranormal. It was just a phenomenon that happened around him.
Oh, really? He could actually look at a camera when they were filming, like between his eyes, and he would manipulate the film to see what he was thinking of, right?
That's correct. It's called photography. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm so intrigued with John Huckert's case, which, by the way, locally we refer to it as the John House. But they both may involve projected imagery. In the case of Ted Serios, I've tried to reconstruct that experiment. You were actually at one of the events where I did.
Right.
We weren't really successful at that time getting a photography image on the Polaroid, although there was a psychic moment that happened there when one of the people that was involved with the experiment named the target item, which I had hidden in an envelope. Since then, I have gotten other photography images from that same person at that event, just out of coincidence. So this John Huckert's story kind of makes me curious if this is maybe another case of psychokinesis. Why I was asking the question earlier, do you think the phenomenon is embedded in the land or perhaps following the people?
Has this happened to you at any other location, or is it strictly at this one home?
As far as I know, that we've only gotten them here. I don't know if other people around the country have gotten them. I have thought about that theory, and I kind of find it intriguing. Like for example, when someone who we barely know comes over and asks a question and gets a response, I wonder sometimes if there's energies in this house that help create something they want to hear. Like they're putting this question out so much that somehow I don't know if they're getting answered or if they're getting a reflection of their own thoughts, but something about the house or... I don't know what it is. All I know is it somehow has a way of manifesting.
All right, so I could buy that maybe one of us is influencing the film, or maybe your thoughts or their own predisposition could influence it, because I do believe that there is some of that going on. And, Bill, we've talked about that at length with people in EVPs, which, for our listeners that are not familiar, that's electronic voice phenomena. That's where people are able to use an audio recorder, either analog or digital, and they get voices that will seem to answer their questions. And we've actually debated about this quite a bit, Bill, that, you know, sometimes I think that it might be the person that's holding the recorder that's imprinting on the digital recorder or audio tape their thoughts or their mental image, if you will. But do you know, John, do you know Latin?
I don't know Latin, no.
So then who's responding in Latin?
Yeah, those were a little daunting because... sometimes it would take us weeks to figure out what it meant. And now, of course, it's real easy. You can type something in the internet and find something out in a second. But back then, we have all these, like, translator books here and stuff. Because, I remember Peter used to get, like, paragraphs in a photograph. He'd get a paragraph in Latin. And it'd be, like, exciting. And then, like, well, now we got to figure out what he's trying to tell us. So... I don't know Latin. I don't believe Peter knew it, because if he did, I would think he would translate it for us right away.
Well, if it has the ability to write in English, why was it going with the Latin? Just to irritate you? And doesn't that, Bill, I don't know, from the experience we've had as paranormal investigators, when you start getting into old language like that, isn't that usually when it's something maybe of not a very positive influence?
Well, it could be from the period of time that the thought form was physical in. So maybe it's a language that it knows. It may be more than one entity that John's been able to communicate with through the Polaroids. Because it wasn't just Latin and English. It was also Old English as well.
Right.
So they had to translate to foreign languages, so to speak.
Now, we had an interesting question, too, from the chat room. Stephanie wants to know, does who's holding the camera have anything to do with the...
No, it doesn't seem to.
Do other people get it? I mean, how many people can hold the camera in that house and will it get a response?
Oh, anybody. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Anybody can hold it. And it's not just one camera. It's like people bring over their cameras, you know. It's just, for some reason, it seems to be... Well, it was back in the 90s very particular to Polaroid film, and we don't know why. I know when the sightings people first came out, the videographer, the camera guy came out, and he was walking through this place that we now know as the Vortex, which is right in front of the bathroom. And he said, "Oh, my God, there's all these lights." And I said, "Well, play it back. Let's see it. Let's see it." And he goes, "Oh, I didn't have the camera running." And I'm like, and we never saw him. I never saw him, but he claimed he saw him in the camera. But it was disappointing because, you know, we never had that phenomenon again, whatever it was. I don't think he was pulling our leg. He seemed generally startled by it, but without the...
Now, did you say some of it was written in Old English?
Mm-hmm.
Was it actually written using Old English alphabet then?
No, it was just the words were words that aren't in, like, a regular dictionary.
Okay.
And it was a spelling. As a matter of fact, in the book, if the images get progressively more coherent in the formation of the letters. It seemed like the photos started off very nebulous, and they just got more and more defined, and the answers more precise as it evolved. At least that's how the book is laid out. Is that accurate, John?
Yeah, we tried to sort of follow a little bit of the path, the way, you know, beginning, middle, end, as far as the journey of the photographs and Peter James' involvement with it. Which is, and we included the last pictures we got of Peter. But yeah, basically that was...
Well, you keep bringing up Peter. Have you had Peter try to communicate with you from the other side via the Polaroids?
That I'm not willing to talk about yet. That's something that the present situation of the house is just a little too immediate and too sensitive to really go into at this point.
Because I'll tell you, we had an interesting... thing happened, and I actually got the chance to ghost hunt with Bill Murphy. What was it, in December, Bill?
I believe so.
We went down in the cargo hold, and I was very depressed. We had hired Peter James to come to our event, and both times medical reasons. Well, one time he was very sick, the second time he was very dead, which is both very hard to get him to make an appearance.
Right.
But I was very upset because I really wanted to meet this guy, and we went down with the new resident psychic, Erica Frost, and we were down in the cargo hold. And as we were sitting there, we were kind of chatting, we kept hearing this
the way noise. He used to breathe.
Right. And we sat there and I said, "Well, that was bizarre." And then I think it was even Erica that brought up, "Well, you know, Peter was on a ventilator at the end. And isn't that interesting?"
Yeah.
But I went over to the side of the ship and I remember, Bill, we actually tracked this to the point where we thought we figured it out. It sounded like something coming from outside the ship.
It did sound like that, yeah.
And then we went down into the actual cargo hold itself, and she stayed upstairs, Erica, and when we got down there, we were talking, and I said, "Boy, that was just a weird noise." And suddenly, directly behind me, it started breathing again, and I couldn't track the exact spot it was coming from, but it was right behind me. So we went back upstairs. We were upstairs for what, about another 2-3 minutes, Bill? There was no sound up there, and all of a sudden, again behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting that I think in a way I got to, you know, interact with Peter James. Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. We do, Tim, my producer and co-host here, is signaling me from across the board. We have to take another break, guys, so stick with us. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, the home of paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday. Make sure it's your dialed-in number every weekend so that you can spend your weekends with Dave and Tim talking about news of the weird and unusual. Appreciate you spending your weekends with us here. And again, join in our live chat room. You can talk with other fantastic people that are involved and interested in the paranormal and share your thoughts with them. They're always open to hear new ideas and thoughts and ideas that you may be experiencing. We're going to take more calls tonight, too. If you have any questions for our guest, feel free to give us a call. And I also encourage you to go check out the website at ktlkfm.com and check out the Darkness Radio page there with the information. You'll always see what's coming up on new shows and links to our guests and their books. So we're going to go back in. Now, again, let's give the two websites, John, that you've got up for people. One is called ghostpolaroids.com.
Yes, uh-huh.
And the other website is?
Seeing Things, the book. And they both basically go to the same website.
Okay, seeingthingsthebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and both of those websites are up.
And they can also see three of the videos that that we shot at the house. We were always shooting videos. So.
Okay. Have you ever used it for trying to, you know, I don't know, solve unsolved mysteries and crimes at all? Have you ever asked them who killed John F. Kennedy? Was Marilyn Monroe murdered?
No, we actually haven't done that. I have to say, in the beginning, we really tried to use it for, you know, trying to figure out how to get more money. And but
attaboy, I love honesty, John. That's a good answer.
Well, the thing is that, you know, it's like, if he knows everything, why not give us the lottery numbers? But
yeah, but if you ask who killed John Kennedy and you get an answer, that's still going to get you some money, my friend.
Well, only if I can prove it.
It's still interesting to throw it out there.
Yeah, that's the photo.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's an artist kept asking what he should do next, whether he should do a painting or a sculpture or whatever, and they would just tell him to follow his heart. You know, he's not going to tell you what to paint, you know, but it's just interesting that he actually has his personality, which is quite interesting.
John, I'm glad you mentioned about your friend who's the artist, because there's been a couple of viewers, or listeners rather, in the chat room that said it'd be nice if they could see the photos without having to necessarily pay for it. And those that are in Southern California, particularly in Los Angeles, you can. Yeah. Coming up this October, I believe you're going to be putting all the photos on display in the gallery that you're associated with. Isn't that correct?
Yes, we're going to have a it'll be for a week only, and it's Halloween week, essentially. So let me see, what are the dates there? It's October 25th through November 2nd. We're going to have all the photos, not all the photos, we'll have a selection of photos in the gallery. They're all framed, and you can really get the experience. And we did it last year, and we did it as a tribute to Peter, which is the reason we do it. Like, we used to have Halloween parties every year for Peter. Well, you were mentioning the way he breathed. Ever since I knew Peter in 1992, we live on a hill, and he had to walk up this huge hill, and he always had to stop and rest every little way to get up, because he has always had problems with his breathing. So I thought it was significant that's what you were hearing.
Yeah, that was really disturbing. I mean, not in a bad way, but it was just so strange to hear something like that. And, you know, it's also kind of sad, because I would hope that Peter could move on to wherever he's going next and not become one of the souls trapped on the Queen Mary.
Well, you know that's where he's, like, his remains are, right?
Well, they were. I think, Bill, haven't they been removed from the ship since new ownership?
Really?
I thought they were removed, but
right, I thought the new ownership was not keen of having his remains aboard.
I didn't know that.
And I don't know if our friend Tuesday Miles is in the chat room or listens to the show and she can get back to us. I think she's pretty good at knowing where everything is. But I believe that his remains were secured and given back to his brother.
Well, Peter would be the first to say that his remains are actually insignificant. So,
right.
Because it's more where he's at, not his remains, you know.
Sure.
Good point. John, I have another question for you.
Sure.
Were there ever instances when the Ghost Rider would communicate while you were not present?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I didn't stay in this house all the time.
So others could come in with their own cameras. And so the reason why I asked that, because I didn't know if you were an influential factor in the Ghost Rider wanting to appear in the Polaroids. But sounds like it is the location then.
I think it is a location. I sometimes wonder if because of the energies that all of us created in the beginning, if that's what, like, sparked it. But I think what took hold, I mean, like Peter used to say, like, there's a lot of energy in this house, and we help energize it. We give it strength or whatever. So, which it makes sense to me.
Actually, that's a really good point. Just because you're not there physically doesn't mean that part of you is not still in your own home.
Well, that's a good point too, yeah, because I mean, you know, all our objects are here and our possessions are here, and you know, there's essence here, I suppose.
Now, John, have you had experiences prior to the Ghost Rider, before you got to California?
Yes, I actually did, and this was back when I actually didn't believe any of this. I lived in a house, I was married at the time, and I had a house in Maryland, and A lot of strange things happened in it, and at first I just kept, like, dismissing it, and it got weirder and weirder and weirder, and it was a house that was built as a house of prostitution, and then eventually a preacher lived there, and the preacher died in the house, and I got it from the preacher's family. And things started happening. The hot and cold water would switch, like, constantly. There was a big bloody hole in the ceiling in the living room that first we would paint over, and then the blood would reemerge. I mean, it was literally like blood. It was this dark brown, red, liquidy stuff that would come out. And after painting and painting and painting, we eventually cut the plaster out and took it all the way down to the boards and replastered it, and then it still came out. Things like that happened, but I still thought, you know, there's explanations for this. But then my sister moved in with her children, and it was like a scene out of Poltergeist. Literally, things were flying around the room. And then two people tried to commit suicide, and, I mean, it was bloody and violent and weird. And it's like the house was, and then the house caught on fire. I mean, it was just weird. It's like thing after thing after thing. And then all of a sudden, I remember my wife said, "Oh my God, John, it's a house. It's a house that's causing all this." And up until that time, I just thought it was a lot of weird coincidences. And it still could be weird coincidences. But there was something, that house wanted to be in hell, because no matter how many times we'd fix it up, something would happen to tear it back down. Also, we had a lot of animals, and all the animals, we had 9 cats, and every single one of them died under very weird circumstances. One of the strangest was we had a bunch of kittens, and we kept them in our room. You know, they were like, you know, 2 weeks old, and it was a locked room, and I remember the night we came home, and all the kittens were dead, and they'd been cut in half. And
oh,
there
my
was
God.
No blood. They were cut in half, and it was, like, bizarre. So
that's anyway, almost the polar opposite of the experience you're having.
Complete opposite. But yeah. At the time, I kept thinking, I kept trying to come up with rational explanations for it, and there probably are. All I know is that it was an awful, awful time in my life. And then when the house burned up, it didn't burn down, it burned up. And it literally, it felt like there was evil. I mean, the windows were exploding out, and it was early in the morning, and it was just one of the dogs who was trapped and died, and we heard this dog dying. It was just a horrible, horrible experience.
How soon after, like, the cats dying did this all happen that the house burned up?
The whole thing took place about over a period of about 2.5 years, and the house...
How did you stay? God, I don't know. Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, and the people in the chat room, I come home to my pets sliced in half and no blood anywhere. I'm out the house.
Oh, well,
I'd have burned it down right then.
I don't think John just sat around and did nothing about it. John, didn't you contact law enforcement after that happened?
Actually, no. Well, you know what? For some reason, we were telling ourselves that the mom thought something was wrong with the cats and decided to eat them. And when I think back on that, I'm thinking, what the hell was I thinking? Because how could the mom actually make half of their heads? I mean, it's like literally like somebody sliced them. But at the time, it just seemed like that's what she must have done.
Well, you know what's interesting to me, Bill, is when we hear stories of possible alien abductions,
mm-hmm.
and we hear stories of things like that, people are, you know, they almost become numb to it. Bigfoot sightings, too, where they see the Bigfoot and they almost kind of forget, or it just kind of numbs to them. And, you know, where we would think, holy crap, you know, run, it almost kind of numb. Do you think that there's some kind of paranormal anesthesia that's kicked in that like dampens it? Or do you think that the spirits that are there doing the negativity, Bill, might have some kind of anesthetic effect on us to dim the senses so that we're not in that fear pattern?
That's an interesting theory. I mean, I think it's certainly anybody can be numbed to exposure to any sort of extreme stimuli. I mean, people who go see horror movies aren't affected by them as much as those who don't see horror movies.
I can tell you, after the house like burned up and the dog died, and I was responsible for calling insurance companies and things like that, and notifying everyone. And I remember the insurance company said to me, "What happened? Are you sure? Because you sound so calm." And at that moment, I realized I was in shock, and I was in shock for like 3 days. But I sounded absolutely fine. And then, of course, after that, if someone even lit a match around me, I freaked out for like a year. But I wonder if there's a spiritual connection to that as well, if something prevents one from totally losing it.
Well, that could be. It's like watching video of a parent whose child just died on TV, and I sit there and you think, holy, how does this person not lose it? I can't even fathom the idea of something like that occurring to me. I'd be completely out of my tree. We're getting signaled from Tim in production. We've got to take a break here, so stick with us, everybody. We'll be back. And again, phone lines are open if you have more questions, or you can private message them over to Tim in the chat room. We'll be back with more and more of your questions right after this. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time. We hope that you'll tune us in and tell your friends, relatives, neighbors, and lovers about us, because that's what we're all about, love, here on the Darkness Radio. We're going to go back into our guests, and our guest again tonight, we're talking about spirit photography, spirit communication. John Huckard is our guest, who has done some amazing things with spirit communication through photographic work. We're also kind of being co-hosted this evening with Bill Murphy, our tech talk specialist. I asked to be a part of the show this evening.
Hello.
I respect Bill's opinion and thoughts on a lot of the stuff that goes on with the technology, the paranormal, John, and I appreciate you for allowing us to keep Bill here with us this evening and talk about the different aspects of the paranormal that you seem to be involved in. We've got a lot of questions that have popped up and out through the chat room, and people, you know, questioning the validity and authenticity of this stuff. And, you know, we're going to be out there in December for the event at the Queen Mary. And, you know, I don't know if you're interested in this, John, but I'd certainly welcome if you'd like to come do a little showing of your spirit photography and show these ghostwriter photographs and allow the public to see and share and hear some of your story. We'd love to have you out there. I'll give you an open invitation.
Sure, that would be fun. I would enjoy that.
All right, great. So there you go, folks.
Wow,
all the people that are
awesome.
Attending the Queen Mary, I would love to have you come out and share that. And, you know, I'd love to see some experiments, too. You know, we play the commercial because one of our sponsors here is Bill Chappell's group with DigitalDowsing.com, and he has some really cool equipment that they're using in the field for paranormal investigation. I would love to maybe get together with you and do a little experimenting. I've got a really great set of mediums that we're familiar with and work with, Michael and Marty Perry, out in California, and they're two of the most accurate mediums that I've had the ability to work with out in the marketplace, aside from people like Chip and Tiffany that we have on the show quite often. But Michael and Marty are amazing, and Marty does spirit artwork herself. She draws the spirit she sees in the room. I'd love to have her come in there and see if there's a way to correlate. Maybe we can put a face to who's manipulating the film and get some action with that, and then also back it up with the digital dowser. Bill, have you put thought into doing something like that?
I actually have, and I think it's gone way past Polaroids in the case of the John house, but we could certainly incorporate Polaroids, digital dowsing. We could do, you know, a lot of cross correlation, Dave.
Right, just to see, because I'd like to be in the thick of it and watch what happens, and maybe I can even you know, come in a couple days before the event, and we can pull together, John, if you're willing to do that and do some experimenting. And for the listeners, if you're interested, like I said, I don't want to just throw somebody's name out there. Check out their website, spiritart.com, spiritart.com, and you'll see the lovely couple, Michael and Marty Perry, there. They do offer readings. They're just a phenomenal, phenomenal set of mediums. Really interested to see how we can tie all these mediums, if you excuse the pun, but all these mediums of photography and psychic phenomena and electronic phenomena together and see if we can't come up with more. And even to throw it in the mix a little bit more, could you imagine coming out with EVP specialists Michael and Marty, or Mark and Debbie Constantino, Bill?
That'd be fantastic.
I guess it's the EVP. There's one group here, and we used to have different groups out to see what their responses were. And one of them did a recording. They hung, like, microphones in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they got two words on it. I actually don't remember what they are now because it was so long ago. It was very dramatic and actually kind of exciting. But then the man collapsed. I thought he died in the middle of the living room. And it was so huge that we decided to not just let everybody over. But people that, like, I remember one psychic came over and she kept saying she knew everything and here and photograph here and take this here and we do it, and she never was right. And then after she left, we asked the house what they thought of her, what he thought of her, and it just said harmless. So, in fact, I think that picture's in the book. But these people sound like they're significant and know what they're doing, and I would welcome that.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the people that we work with in this field, and you know what, I don't know, Patrick Burns, I think, is out in our chat room. Patrick, if you're there, feel free to chime in and let us know if you'd be like willing to do a part of this. But Patrick has an online streaming server, and, you know, if you're willing to, maybe we can make it a whole evening, a special Darkness Radio Presents with the Ghost Hounds, and we can come out there and have it stream live as we do some of these experiments with your film, with mediums, and with EVP specialists all on hand, and see if there's any way we can get all the stuff for the audience to see. Are you open for something like that, John?
I am certainly open to it. I do know there's, I don't know what that machine's called, Bill. You might know. It's this thing, I think it does magnetic waves or something.
Oh, the EMF detector that we
EMF, mm-hmm. I guess it's what, yeah. There was a guy, we had a bunch of people who did the Entity case, or that one they made the movie about. They were the experts on that movie, and they came out and they had, you probably know all these people.
Dr.
Barry Taff, Barry Conrad.
All those guys are out here.
Okay.
I mean, some real legitimate people. And I remember, I think it was Barry Taff, actually, who had this, he was holding this thing, and it kept pegging all over the place when you entered this one spot where Peter always said there was a body buried under the house at that exact spot. And I asked him, I said, well, is it possible that, like, a raccoon or something under the house could cause it? Because we do, you know, live out in the woods, and there are animals and things. He goes, no, it would take more like a transformer. I said, so there could be a transformer under the house? He goes, yeah, but it had to be the size of a locomotive to make these kind of readings. So, I don't really completely understand what they are, but the thing was just pegging off pegging all the way over on the right side, so... And it kept doing it every little while. It would, like, peg and bounce and then go back.
Well, so maybe we can have, like, a high school reunion of sorts and bring back Dr. Taft and Barry Conrad and you and everybody there at the same time.
Yeah, it'd be like the 15-year anniversary.
Uh-huh. One of the things that you mentioned, John, was that you did seek out another psychic. I don't believe it was Peter James, but the person was mentioning to you that she felt, or he felt, that your own electrical energy, like from your brain, may be excessive and affecting the environment. Could you tell the listeners the story you told me?
Yes, that was back when I lived at the house in Maryland after I divorced and left the town and moved out of California. I'm still close with my ex-wife, and she said at one point, because of the experience there, she took a picture that we had in the living room of all of us, everyone who lived in the house, because it was like a group house kind of thing. She took it to this woman who worked for the FBI. I guess she's like one of the people the FBI has on hand to help them find people and bodies and stuff. I guess she was, I don't know what they call them, but that's what she did. And apparently she's like kind of famous or something. She's been in the Washington Post a bunch and written books. Anyway, she took her, I've never met the woman, but she took her this picture and said, this is our house, and we wonder if, because we've always thought that there was something in there, and showed it to this woman, and the woman says, no, it's not the house, it's this man right here. He has an epileptic brain, and it's attracting spirits to him. And, of course, she was pointing to me, but I'm not epileptic.
Can you tell us the name of this medium?
I don't. It's been years. It was back in, like, the, like, 96 or 97.
It kind of
stinks. No, this was back in... In 84, 83 or 84, because I moved to California by 85.
Sounded like Sylvia Brown to me with the whole epileptic brain thing going on.
It might have been. I didn't really take much note. The thing I remembered the most was the fact that she said epileptic brain. I thought it was so funny because I've had a couple of brain injuries, but I've always recovered. It's not like I don't have epilepsy or anything like that. But I have seen things along a lot. That's why we called the book Seeing Things, because that's how the whole thing started.
All right. Well, we have to take our final break of the show, so stick with us, everybody. John, thank you very much for spending time with us, and Bill, sure, for fleshing this out. And we'll wrap up with your thoughts here in the last segment. Just keep listening. You're right here, tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday night on your home for paranormal talk. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Interesting show, Tim.
Yeah.
This is kind of crazy. Now, I know you're the bigger skeptic of the two of us. What do you take and what do you make of all the spirit photography stuff?
I don't know.
Something you want to see? Well, you're going to come with us for this experiment, right, when we get out there. Patrick Burns did pop up in the chat room and said he'd be willing to take a look at doing this and streaming the experiment for us to our audience. So why don't we plan on a couple days prior to the Queen Mary getting together with you, John, and we'll pull together our friends, your friends, and see if we can't do this and make something happen.
That sounds great.
All right, very cool. Well, again, we've got about 10 minutes left. We will take a couple calls. A lot of people have been calling in with questions to Tim that are too timid to come online, so I've been trying to feed them through. But if you have a question and you'd like to be a part of the show, we have about 7-8 minutes left in the show. John, what do you want people to take away from your experience? What do you want people to take away from what's going on in your world?
Absolutely nothing. I don't want them to take anything away unless it resonates with them in some way, and then they'll already have something. If they don't, if they look at this and say, like one thing, I got somebody called me and said, "What kind of cheese you got to go with that bologna?" So right away, I knew that wasn't something that was significant to them, and that's fine. I don't care if people believe this or not. It's a very personal thing to all of us out here, and we love and cherish what we have. If someone doesn't want to believe it, that's fine. I'm not trying to convince them to believe it. That's why I usually don't even talk about it. But I feel your listeners are used to this subject matter, and that would be okay. That's why I wouldn't do the Oprah show, because I don't feel that most of those people would be...
Tim, did you hear that? We get guests Oprah can't even book.
I know. Cool, huh?
How does that strike you?
It wasn't easy, Dave. Trust me.
In your face, Winfrey.
Well, to be honest, it was because at the time I had a debilitating fear of flying, and... The producers told me.
No, don't ruin it for me, John. Just stick with don't ruin it for me. Just stick with the fact that you'd rather do our show. I appreciate that more.
Oh, okay, all right.
Just repeat after me, John. You're the only one, Dave. You're the only one.
That's what I make Tim do every night.
Yeah.
Mantra.
Oh, that's funny. So.
Well, with doing this stuff and all the evidence that you've seen, Bill, over the years with spirit photography and the breakdown, and we have a good friend of ours, Mark Macy, who also uses Polaroid film and has had some stunning results. Boy, I wonder what would, man, you just keep thinking about this stuff. But, Bill, what about the illuminator on hand?
The illuminator, yeah.
Or illuminator, I'm sorry.
Right. Running that at the same time, you mean?
Yeah.
What is that?
Wow. That's an interesting proposition to take Mark Macy's illuminator, which creates a subtle energy field that allows spirit photography to occur with Polaroids, bring that to the John house. And run it there and see what sort of images you get then. Why don't we ask Mark Macy in November?
I'd love to, yeah, see if we can incorporate this. I mean, there are so many different places to take this, John, and you know, with what Mark Macy does, he created this deal, and it actually just kind of runs like ionized water, doesn't it, Bill?
That's correct.
But it creates this kind of static bubble that can go up to a few blocks. Wow. And when he takes photographs with his Polaroid camera, it affects, like he'll take a photograph of you, and there's ghostly images that seem to appear around your face. I still contend, Bill, looking at those photographs, they don't look like ghosts to me. They look like older versions of us.
I agree with you there.
And I've seen the photographs where you'll see, like, your face almost superimposed over, but you can see, like, these deep wrinkles in your forehead or deep crow's feet or lines in the mouth that just make you look, you know, significantly older. You know, it's like the opposite of glamour shots, Tim. We've got non-glamour shots by Mark Macy.
I think that was my senior photo in high school,
yes,
actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if he is truly opening some kind of visual portal with this, it would be interesting to see if that amps up, because you were saying that Peter James seemed to be some kind of instigator, kind of a catalyst to really get action. Like you said, you were even getting paragraphs written.
Oh, he just knew how to talk. I don't know if you saw the videos that are on that same webpage, but there's two videos of Peter talking the way he would talk to the room and talk to the spirit. And sometimes it would take him a little while to get in the right groove with what's going on here. But once he did, I mean, he could just, it was like a conversation, and it was interesting because it would get very profound sometimes. And you know, if there was a particular issue someone was having, he'd get to the root of it. So he became a very dear friend of ours.
Peter was very humble many his approach to seeking spirit communication. I mean, he would, you know, please communicate with me. We need to know. I need to know. I'm talking to you now. Talk back. And they'd snap the photos, and they would come out. And Peter did that everywhere he wanted. He did it on the Queen Mary. And that humbleness seemed to sort of really open the floodgates at the John John House.
Well, I would love, like I said, I'm always looking for the answers, and maybe we could talk offline sometime, John, and you can share a little bit more in depth with me on ways to help me allay my fears of the whole death experience. Has there ever been a message that's come through for you that, you know, maybe wasn't a real positive message or was more frightening?
No, never once. There's been ones that are mysterious, and I know there's been really funny ones, like humorous ones. I remember one Halloween, it said something like, get out or something.
Oh,
everybody
nice.
Like, freaked out, but then we realized we were just sort of, he was like kidding.
Okay.
I mean, it was like funny, but I mean, when you first read it, because that's what I think everybody was expecting, and I think he just sort of did that to kind of show that, you know, that he has a sense of humor. But no, nothing ever threatening, nothing ever scary or frightening. In fact, if anything, encouraging and comforting and very nurturing. And, I mean, I don't know, it's just it's very profound.
John, you seem to have settled that it's quite possibly a single spirit as opposed to multiples. Is that what I'm hearing from you when you say that he would answer as opposed to...
Yes, I think there's a lot of things that go on in this house. I mean, I think there's a lot of spirits here. And I've seen a lot of things, and I've actually seen things physical. But as far as the communication on the Polaroid, I believe it's right. I believe that is all right.
Okay, so it could be right. Maybe the founder of the area, like you uncovered in your research.
That's possible, but we still haven't had anything to link us to that other than that it could be just a coincidence. You know, there's also Franklin Lloyd Wright. Maybe it's him. He built houses around here, but why would he be talking to us? You know what I mean? It's like we haven't found a significant reason for any of this.
Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe you don't need a significant reason. Maybe sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. It's because the spirit is there and wants to communicate, and there is no holy message that comes with it. There's no, you know, just because it's Einstein's ghost doesn't mean because you're a super intelligent guy that he's communicating with you. It's just the fact that you're there, you're listening, and he's willing to talk.
Well, I have to tell you a few of the people, because the real profound stuff we get is only happens to very few people, and one question they always ask is, why me? Why are we getting this? Why isn't this happening everywhere? Why is it just happening here? You know, and as far as I know, it is happening in other places, but I've never heard of it. So I keep hoping one day someone's going to say, I'm getting these things too. And then we can link up and figure out if there's like portals or something opening up, or I don't know.
Well, what's really refreshing about your case, John, is that, you know, you are not a paranormal investigator, like I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people like you that tend to want to be a little more reserved and a little more private with what's happening, as opposed to all of us in the paranormal community that are out there snapping photos and trying to hope for something, but they keep dodging our photos and they're landing in yours.
Hmm.
Congratulations on getting a lot of good evidence there.
Yeah, well, it's just here.
Now, do you get any messages that seem to be not necessarily in response to a question, but just of general guidance or advice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we'll just take pictures. And I remember one of them was of the three of us that live here, and we all kind of put our arms around each other, and we just smiled and got a picture, and it said, truth is the currency of love.
Well, that's very nice.
Message.
So yeah. I'll tell you what, put that on a T-shirt with the photograph, and we'll sell those for you. That's one way you can make some money, because that's a great, great message to end the show on.
I thought it was fantastic, and we didn't even ask a question. So we would get things like that a lot, but that was one that I just will never forget, because it was such a reaffirming thing. So.
Well, John, thank you for spending your evening with us here. Bill, thank you again, as always.
My pleasure.
And again, people can go check out ghostpolaroids.com. You can order the book. You can read more about it. You can see the videos on the site. Guys, thanks for spending your night with us. And all of you out there listening, thanks for spending your time with us here on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. We'll be back next weekend with brand new shows. Check out our website, darknessevents.com, for all the upcoming Darkness events, so you can come out and meet with Tim and I and the rest of the crew. We look forward to meeting with you, talking to you, and don't forget, Put it on your schedule right now. On the 29th of September, you can watch on A&E Paranormal State. Dave Schrader, Darkness Dave here, is going to be on Paranormal State investigating UFOs. Thanks again.